We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Chuck and Winkler, Milwaukee's longest running sports talk morning show. In one corner, a guy who has covered the Packers for 30 plus years. In the other, a Green Bay owner. Chuck and Winkler in the morning on The Fan.
It is Chuck and Winkler. I'm Bart Winkler. That's Chuck Freeman. We're with you until 10 o'clock per usual today. And we've got a lot to talk about. Brewers with a debut last night. Keston Hira with a hit in his first at-bat, and looking pretty good at the plate. Brewers get the victory. We'll have your Brew Crew review in about 15 minutes from now. Maybe the most exciting non-sporting event in a long time last night, with chaos in the NBA draft ladder lottery. We'll talk about that. Bucks and Raptors, of course, game one tonight. We've got you covered from all angles, but it's Chuck and Winkler, so we'll start with Chuck and Winkler. As if you missed us yesterday in the 8 o'clock hour, it turned into, I wouldn't say you railing against Canada. I would just say you, Chuck, expressing things you're not too fond of as you are traveling there for games 3 and 4 and possibly 6.
Yeah, I mean, they trust me, other cities bashing us. I was on Toronto radio yesterday, and all I got was, you know, Laverne and Shirley, Happy Days, you know, that sort of thing. And I feel like when I'm on visiting radio stations, when, you know, they call us to be on their shows, and they call us up, and, you know, the first thing they say is cheese or beer. What do you guys have in Milwaukee besides Laverne and Shirley? And it's like, man, it's you get the same stuff all the time. Of course, yesterday I took some shots at Canada, and our fans here in Milwaukee, you know, got defensive about me, you know, defending our great country and our great city against, you know, Canada, which I think is a worthless state, worthless country. Not even knowing what I said, were firing shots, and I was listening to Toronto radio yesterday, Bart, and I know you did some Toronto radio. I heard a lot of bashing about Milwaukee yesterday.
I just think to name any place overall worthless is a little harsh, but you're the one that's going to have to be there over the weekend, and not me.
And I don't care. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I just, whatever. It's all about the basketball game anyway.
Right, but we have 4 hours to fill, and
sure,
so we're going to make a little bit about us. They hoodwinked me this morning, those Canucks did.
Yeah, how's that?
So I did a Canadian radio hit today as well.
Yeah.
Our friends in Toronto. And, you know, I'm just doing an interview, and we're talking about the Bucks and the Raptors, and, you know, we've done these things thousands of times, mm-hmm. and we ask others to do it for us, and it's just kind of a part of the game. So at the end, and I got no warning about this, at the end they're like, so what do you say to, we put a little bet on it, eh? And, God. I don't want to make a bet. I don't want to bet. I haven't bet you in a while. I just bet listeners and let them have the money.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to make a bet. How about if the Bucks win there, we'll send you Raptors stuff.
Now you're making fun of Canada.
No, I'm just saying how the guy sounded.
Okay.
We'll send you Toronto Raptors stuff, eh? And you can send us Bucks stuff if the Bucks win. Okay. Why? Sure. You know, they sucker me into a bet, and then afterwards the producer retexts me and says, "Just so you know, if the Bucks win, you will send us gear." And then we'll take a picture in it. I go, wait, I'm not paying for this.
Yeah, well.
And so then I finally got him to say, yeah, all right, we'll pay there, eh?
Why did you say you don't want to bet?
Because it's radio. You gotta just go with it.
Yeah. I mean,
I'm under a radio hit. I can't just say, no, I don't want to bet, and then have the segment come to a screeching halt.
So they, at the end of the show, just say, no, let's, so what do they bet?
If the Raptors win, mm-hmm. they are going to send us Raptors sweaters.
Oh, which I don't even care to wear.
that we wear,
yeah,
and then take a picture, which is supposed to be super embarrassing with the longtime rivalry between the Raptors and the Bucks, and how we can't be dare caught dead in Raptors gear.
Now, wearing Boston Celtic gear or Philadelphia 76er gear, that might tear me a little bit more. But the Toronto Raptors, to me, they're irrelevant. They're irrelevant. The Raptors don't bother me at all. I would, you know, I'd be worried more about the series if the Bucks were playing the Celtics or Philadelphia. And certainly, I'm not worried about any rivalry with Toronto. But just for the sake of them trying to mow us over here, you and I, in the last couple of days, that's kind of stepped up the ranks a little bit. Now I'm getting a little more edgy about this series.
Then they said, hey, how about if the Bucks win, you send us Aaron Rodgers to come to a game, eh? And we'll send you Drake.
And play in your 120-yard football field?
And I said, oh, by the way, one of our radio stations, Kiss FM here in Milwaukee, they're taking a break from Drake. Mm-hmm. They're not playing any Drake for the entire series. And they said, oh, I heard about that. That's kind of petty there, eh? And I said, I mean, I don't know. And they said, okay, I guess we'll ban Laverne and Shirley and Happy Days music.
Yeah, there you go.
They said the same thing.
Oh, the Happy Days, yeah. 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 I got a call from Toronto morning. Did Ashley Docking call you?
Yeah.
Yeah, I talked to her yesterday. I didn't want to do it. They call you? I gave them your number.
Why?
I didn't want to do it. I'm driving in early in the morning. I did Amy Lawrence a couple of days ago. I just early in the
did
morning.
I hit at 5:12 this
morning. Oh, did you? Okay.
I woke up even earlier.
I said,
than
get
I
my
wake
part.
Up.
I said, get my partner.
He'll
do
of
it.
A bitch.
Get my partner. He'll do it. I just did another show yesterday after doing it. I've known Ashley Docking. She
well,
was nice
that's
to
who
you.
We're in a bet with.
She doesn't have that kind of voice though.
No, she. I'm doing the guy's voice.
Okay, they have like. Another person, I can't think of the guy's name. The other guy who's on the show.
Craig? Jerry?
I don't remember.
Steve?
I don't remember. One of them.
Husky?
Yeah.
UConn?
But that station's been around. They're an all-sports station that's been there. I think that might have been the first all-sports station in Canada. All right, it's a good station. It's a good station. They used to be the, I don't know if they still are, they were the voice of the Raptors for many years.
Yeah, they've got the Raptor game on.
And the Toronto Blue Jays for many. I used to be on their post-game show when doing reports from Milwaukee. This is a long time ago.
They were talking about Vlad Guerrero Jr. hitting his first home run.
I suppose that's a big story up there, too.
They were talking about if he should be in the home run derby
already.
This season.
Already.
Yeah, which, I mean, maybe if you're baseball, maybe that's not a bad.
So did you put it to those Canadians? Did you defend us at all when they're kind of patronizing us a little bit?
I said that I would like to send American gear that they could wear, and they said, oh, no, we don't need that. No, there, hey, there.
Okay.
Hey.
Mm. All right, that's how the guy talked, huh?
No, not too much. But the other interesting thing is we're having a Canadian news crew come in here at 8 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
To tape us doing what we're doing, and we'll throw the guy on air.
Yeah, I that guy, Alan, I think he was from like a news station, because I was on his show, and I think he's a news person talking sports yesterday, because I don't know what his deal is, because I don't think they have another sports station in town.
Is he like the Ted Perry of Toronto?
One of those kind of guys, yes. I think that's exactly what it is.
Our friend Ted.
I think that's exactly what it is, yeah.
Anytime there's a sort of sports news story, Ted's on it.
Oh, yeah. This is the time of the year. All those news guys, they'll be jumping aboard the sports train. get to the championship round, and they're all there. They're all in. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, God. You'll see all those news people down at... And that's fine. You'll see them all at Fiserv Forum tonight outside, in the Deer District and all that. Oh, yeah. They'll all be down there. Ted will probably be broadcasting live from down there.
Yeah, possibly. We'll look for that later. We know the TNT crew will be there. They were setting up.
So should we give this Canadian guy a little run here this morning? How are we going to handle him?
I think we start jovial, and if it turns bad, we'll see what happens.
Because, he was throwing the... Oh, I'm dry. He drove. He drove from Toronto all the way here.
Did he need a passport?
No, I've heard conflicting reports on that now, where you don't need a passport or you do need a passport if you drive.
I think if you get into another country, you get
Yeah, that's what I thought, too. So, but I'm flying. I thought about driving, but 9.5 hours in a car. Actually, I checked it out last night. It was 10 hours and 5 minutes, and I was like, that's a two-day trip. I'd have to bust that in half. I don't want to go. I don't want to drive 10 hours. Have you ever driven 10 hours on? Well, you just came back from Arizona. You've done that before.
I came back from Arizona, and I'm glad you brought this up. I came back from Arizona because I drove 27 hours, and we stopped twice, so essentially 3 days. Oh. And then there was somebody, his name's Ryan. He was DMing me. He said, I'm about to do the same thing with my mom.
Okay.
And I just talked to him yesterday. He said, I just got back. I said, where did you stop? He said, we didn't stop.
Mm.
He drove 27 hours, only stopping to use the restroom and eat.
Okay, so what was the longest?
He stayed awake the whole time.
What was the longest stretch you went without stopping?
It was probably just, without stopping?
Yeah, without stopping.
I mean, did you ever stop every 4 hours.
Oh, did you go from like filling up the gas tank nonstop to you had to fill it up again?
Well, what my grandma likes to do is keep the gas tank at full at all times. She won't go down to empty.
Okay.
In case we get... Cause,
so that's like 300 miles.
Because you're like in the middle of nowhere at some point. There's no gas station, so...
God, that's like the worst, too, when you're driving.
In case we get stranded.
You're like a quarter tank, and you're like, oh, I'm going to ride this out. And then you get down a little further, and then you're on E, and you don't see a gas station for miles. You see a Quick Trip every exit, and then you're driving to Wisconsin, and then you don't see one for 25 miles, and you're on E, and you're like, oh, my God, where's that next Quick Trip? Here it is.
So here's what's going on today, Chuck and Winkler, as you guys drive along with us, everybody. We're going to talk about Keston Hira coming up in just a moment. A nice debut for him last night. Surprising that he's up at this point of the season, but he is here, and he is here to stay. We'll talk about what Giannis said, that the Bucks can't afford to lose. Giannis sometimes throws shade at other teams on purpose, or on accident. He said, oh, we can't afford to lose game one like we can to the Celtics. And he means, I think he's innocent about it.
I think he means good.
He doesn't mean to slam the Celtics.
Well, it's like when he was looking up on the stat sheet.
It's Marcus Smart.
Marcus Smart. Was Marcus, who's asked at the press conference, is Marcus Smart, what impact did the game did he have? And then he looks up on the stat sheet, and it looks like he's trying to be a wise guy.
Yeah.
But I think he's actually trying to see if Marcus Smart, what he did.
Yeah.
Because he said something nice about him, I think he had to at that point.
So we'll have our friend Alan Carter's his name, the Canadian newsman. Mm-hmm. He will come in here about 8 o'clock. Matt Velasquez and Ryan Wohlstadt, beat writer for the Bucks and beat writer for the Raptors. They'll both join us in the 9 o'clock hour. One other thing of note: it's an Ask Chuck and Winkler Anything Wednesday. We'll do that just about 8:45, like we do every Wednesday. The twist today is that will be how you can win Power Pass tickets to Summerfest today. So we've got 11-day Power Passes to Summerfest, where you can get access into every day. Just send us a question, either for Chuck or myself, at 105.7 FM The Fan with the hashtag AskCW. So plenty going on today. Should be a fun show as we get ready for Game 1 here tonight.
Yeah, that was a quick week. I'm telling you, they last played last Wednesday. And normally, I think, man, it took forever. Man, that went fast. And here we are already with Wednesday and Friday games. And, you know, had that series wrapped up earlier with Toronto, this would have been game two tonight because game one would have been on Monday. But I'm all ready to go. How are you feeling?
I feel good. I feel like they'll take this one tonight.
I think so, too.
And I feel like they'll be off to a good start. Yep. We'll talk more about that with you guys throughout the show. But next, Keston Hira. A little bit of a shocker yesterday as we closed the show and found out some breaking news that Keston Hira, who was drafted a couple of years ago, has already made his way to the major leagues. And it looks like he's here to stay. Brew Crew Review, Chuck and Winkler next on The Fan. Brewers win. Long-term bigger picture is that Keston Hira, the second baseman they drafted in the summer of 2017, has already shot his way up to the major leagues. Couple of hits last night. So he does have the ball from his first hit. And then Jared Eichhoff could probably also show you where that first hit landed as it went off the pitcher. Couple of hits for Hira last night. Played a decent second base. Had a walk. And the Brewers win. He also almost killed Bryce Harper, a foul ball in the corner that Harper slid into the wall to and came up a little limping, but Harper remained in the game and was okay. But Keston Hira, I think the big takeaway for me is, dude at 22 years old looks very comfortable with a bat in his hand in a big league ballpark.
It kind of reminded me, I mean, two different types of players, but when Ryan Braun came up here, in 2007, I thought the same thing. When he came up that series, that Memorial Day weekend against the Padres, he stepped right in and looked very comfortable at the plate. And, you know, he had a very comfortable 2007 season. Same with this guy. It's like, this guy belongs. He comes up there and, you know, the smack, like you talk about at the pitcher, solid contact, solid single to left. On top of it, he almost killed their best player.
Yes, he did. Bryce Harper seems to be fine.
Yeah.
Got a standing ovation of sorts for his defensive effort. Still struggling at the plate, hitting just 219, but did all right in the field last night. But Keston Hira, when we were leaving the show yesterday, it was the very last thing that kind of came across Twitter, reported by Robert Murray of The Athletic. Keston Hira had found out the night before yesterday, so to obviously let him travel to Philadelphia. But I was surprised. I was surprised that it was this early. I thought we would see him at some point. The Super 2 thing is very confusing to me because we don't know. If he comes up too soon, they lose a year of arbitration. Mm-hmm. And we never have like an exact date on when it is. At least I can't figure it out. Maybe one of you know. I don't know.
But you know, I care most importantly about helping this team win. This is another all-in year for this team, and Travis Shaw wasn't getting it done. They needed production, and if this guy could give some production at second base, Bart, I'm okay losing a year of arbitration. All right, I mean they can work all that out later, because if this guy is going to be a productive member of this team and here to stay, I'm fine with that.
Yeah, right. I am fine too. I am okay with that.
I'm not one of these guys who want to stock prospects up and, you know, have the best minor league system in the world, and my major league team is floundering.
I agree. Somebody was...
Huh?
I was trying to get you to keep talking. Someone was trying to get my attention at the door.
Here?
Yeah.
Radio station?
Yeah.
Stay out! We're trying to do a show.
The light's on!
We're doing a show here.
The microphone's on!
We want to repeat as champions.
When I go silent, I need you to just BS. Just BS.
Well, I don't know. Sometimes you go quiet, and I'm like, hello, are you okay?
Yeah, that's why I need you to just all stammer.
Right. Well,
repeat the thing you just said.
Sometimes I do, and I don't. Okay.
So, honestly, I haven't heard a said thing in the last. I don't know what you said last night.
I don't know. Keston here is the man. We'll go with that. How about that? He's here to stay, hopefully.
I did talk. I don't know what I said.
He's here to stay.
I think I agreed with you.
No, here's what I said. I said if they're going to lose a year of his arbitration and he's going to help this team out, I'm good with it.
Oh, and then I think I enthusiastic, you know what I'm trying to say.
Should we go back to the Bucs?
Yeah, so the Bucs play tonight against the Raptors, game one.
Yeah.
No, but with Hira, so he's here to stay, and Travis Shaw suddenly has this injury. You can say what you want about this injury. They said it happened on his fourth at bat, and then after the game, that
seems weird.
Well, why? This seems to be allowed though. Like Travis Shaw, is he hurt? He said, I worked through it last year. This year, we shouldn't work through it.
I don't know. It just seems odd that, like, last year he worked through it, but this year they said, let's get you healthy. Well, you're shitting 163. Let's get you healthy. How about going down to the minor leagues? Put you on the DL. Go to the minor leagues, get some rest. I don't know. Something doesn't seem right about that injury.
So, all right, let's say he's fine and he works through it. He rehabs. He comes back.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say it's in 2-3 weeks.
Yeah. And Hira's still raking?
Yeah. What are you going to do with Travis Shaw?
Well, as...
Did he get Wally Pipp last night?
Well, that's only one game. It's only one game. Stern said... It's a good problem to have. He was asked that yesterday. And they'll find a way to work it all through. Maybe Shaw plays some first base. Now, we thought when Moustakas, they traded for Moustakas, what's that going to do with Shaw? He moved to second base and he played a decent second base. I think that'll all work itself out. I think it will. Hey, you can never have too much depth. And, you know, we had Tim Allen on the show yesterday, and he talked about Shaw being one of those big bats coming off the bench. No, I think they look at him as a guy who's going to be a productive middle of the order. They want him to be a middle of the order type guy. And he's going to get his at bats. If Hira comes up and is hitting well and all that, he's going to stay at second base. And now you got two left-handed hitting third basemen. So somebody will probably have to move to first base if one of those guys could. Now, Aguilar, if he continues to struggle at first base, he doesn't turn around, and Shaw comes up and he starts hitting. Then maybe Shaw's going to replace Aguilar at first base. A lot of scenarios you can go there with, Bart. I don't know. That could be all worked out, but the main thing is if Hira continues to hit, he's in there.
Yeah, I don't see. You don't bring him up, and reportedly early, whenever the Super 2 does kick in, you don't bring him up to just fill in while Travis Shaw's on the DL. You could have brought Corey Spangenberg up to do that, who they DFA'd to make room for Hira on the 40-man. But when they brought up Hira, they obviously saw that they were struggling at the plate. Mm-hmm. They know this guy was raking. They believed he was ready. I mean, you almost could have brought him up at the start of the season, but you couldn't take him from Double A to the major leagues, could you?
Well,
but he only had 37 games in Triple A before they were comfortable bringing him up, and he looks as comfortable at the plate as anybody else on that team.
You know what's odd is they never gave him a shot to win the major a spot in a major league roster. They told him right from the very beginning at spring training, "Big boy, you're starting a season in the minor leagues." No matter what he did in the in spring training, he was going to start the year in the minor leagues. Now, what opened the door for him was Shaw. I mean, Hira still be down in the minor leagues if Shaw was hitting his weight, but Hira is. He's going to take advantage of it. This is what it is. You, as a minor leaguer, sometimes you get called up a little earlier than expected, and if you take advantage of it, you're going to earn your stay in this team.
Would you consider this a panic move? Because I think this was a, and by panic move, I mean it was an un. The Brewers mapped out this season. Okay, they mapped out how the season is going to go, and they knew they were going to start with three young pitchers, and they knew they had Sean, Moustakas, Aguilar, and Thames, those guys to choose from in the infield, Perez. And the pitching wasn't working. So they needed help. And they went out and got Gio Gonzalez, who they had no plan on getting back here. Mm-hmm. I don't think when they mapped out scenarios of what we do if these guys struggle, they thought Gio Gonzalez would fall back into their lap. So I would consider that maybe panic move one. This then, I don't think when they mapped out the season on opening day, I don't think they had a scenario where they brought Keston Hira up here by May 14th. So I would consider that panic move number two. As moves that you made, because you know every game matters more than ever this season with the three teams competing, and the Brewers right now 2.5 back of the Cubs for first place. The Cardinals are 3.5 back of Chicago. I think that they made two moves this year that they don't make any other year, and that was finding Gio Gonzalez and then bringing up Keston Hira early.
Yeah, I wouldn't look at it as panic. I think they looked at it as you know, they look at their roster, their 40-man roster, as they look at if they win a division title, it's going to take 40-man, not just 25 guys on this roster. And Hira wasn't on the 40-man until yesterday. So they look at, really, I think, Bart, that whole 40-man roster now to get them a division title. Pitchers who are going to come up here throughout the year, you know, they've sent guys back and forth already. If guys have pitched up here and they need another pitcher, boom, they'll just get another guy from AAA and bring him up here for a couple of days, or they'll DFA somebody if they need a roster spot, like they did with Spangenberg. So, yeah, I don't know if it's really a panic move. It's just a move that I think they look at it and they say, "This, we're just going to access our organization, and this guy is hitting so well. How can we not bring him up?"
Yeah, panic's a little strong, but I still think that at the beginning of the season, they've done two major things that they did not plan on doing by this point in the season when they looked at how this might go on opening day.
But look at some of the guys they brought up last year. Do you think that they thought that they were going to bring up Corbin Burns or Woodruff, and all those guys were going to be making big time? You know, those young guys made big time contributions in September and in October to this team. So I think this is just part of their process. They feel, with the way Hira's starting down at AAA, let's give this guy a shot. Shaw's struggling, so let's give Hira a shot until we get. I really believe they feel that, and when Stern says this, Shaw, we need Shaw to be productive. I think they really, they have the, they're not just going to get rid of him and put him down to the minors or rehab and just forget about him. Shaw's still a good player. He's going through an awful slump. He'll be back. They need him to be a productive player. He's still a 30 home run guy you got sitting in your organization. It's just that he's not helping you out right now, and they're trying to find some way to turn him around, and the major league roster is not getting the job done for him.
Final score last night, 6-1. Brewers win 25-19. Woodruff with another good outing. He's got his ERA down under 4. He goes 6 innings, strikes out 5. No earned runs. Corbin Burns good for 2 innings in relief. Jacob Barnes okay. They got into a little trouble late. Hader was warming up in the pen with 2 outs and a 6-1 lead.
I did not want to see him get that game. Barnsley's on the hill, you know, throwing balls in the dirt, and I'm like, I was getting furious. And then I see Hader up there throwing a couple of warm-up tosses just to get his arm loose. And it's like, God, in a 6-1 game, Bart, if you got to go to Hader at this point and use him up, Jacob Barnes, you're a major league pitcher. Get somebody out. Please, get somebody out. And if he would have had to come out of that ball game because he was walking more guys and giving up bases, I was like, DFA him right on the spot. Jeez, be a major league pitcher. And but you know, they put him in a spot here. He wants to earn his keep on the team, but he was pitching horribly in the ninth inning. And they almost, thank God he got out of it with a fly ball at the end. But it's like, God, he was dinking around there, prolonging that ninth inning. It was a waste of time.
It's Chuck and Winkler, served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. More on the Brewers throughout the show. More on the Bucks, of course. The Western Conference Finals are underway. Warriors take game one from Portland. And right before that, maybe the most thrilling 10 minutes of the entire NBA season happened last night at a ballroom in Chicago. It's Chuck and Winkler, served up by Perkins, 105.7 FM, The Fan. Chuck and Winkler, served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. I'm Bart Winkler. That's Chuck Freeman. That from the NBA Draft Lottery, where the New Orleans Pelicans get the number one pick. Memphis with two. The Knicks get three and the Lakers four. Chicago, who had thought they had a good chance at getting a top three pick, they fall down to seven. Some wild chaos last night. New Orleans, with a 6% chance at number one, they do end up with the number one pick, and that makes things completely more interesting. And I think Chuck changes the narrative about what they're going to do with Anthony Davis, because Anthony Davis doesn't want to sign the extension, wants to get traded. There were reports that if the Knicks get one, they might trade it for Anthony Davis. And now you could maybe have Anthony Davis have a change of heart to play with Zion Williamson.
Oh, pair those two guys together. That's a human highlight reel. Both of those guys, Anthony Davis and Zion Williamson. Poor Zion. Probably thought at this point he was going to the Lakers or the Knicks, because they get down to the final four teams and you're thinking, okay, oh, this is too good to be true. The Knicks and Lakers, the fix is on. And the Lakers go... The Lakers and Knicks go 3-4, and New Orleans. Now, at one point, the Bucks, the NBA looked at the Bucks, I think, as really an irrelevant franchise, and the rest of the NBA. New Orleans has since replaced the Bucks as an irrelevant franchise.
Well, they were at one time owned by the NBA.
Yeah.
They didn't have an owner. They were so irrelevant.
They originally moved. They were the Charlotte Hornets. They moved to New Orleans. And Charlotte eventually got another team, and then they changed their name back to the Hornets. But, yeah, the Pelicans, bad. Too bad for Zion. We've heard the last of Zion Williamson. It was nice knowing him before he even played an NBA game.
Oh, come on.
Oh, the Pelicans? That's not a good move for the NBA at all. Putting him to the Pelicans? Or really? That horrible ownership down there?
Well, again, it's not rigged, so it's not a move by the NBA.
Yeah.
It's not rigged.
No, it's not rigged.
Well, I saw a lot of people last night say, oh, for all of you that think the NBA is rigged, this proves it's not. How about this? The NBA heard all you guys think it's rigged, so they rigged it by making it look not rigged.
Yeah. So you think it's a good idea to have him with the Pelicans?
I mean, obviously for the NBA, it would be quote-unquote better for him to be with the Lakers or the Knicks.
Yeah.
Big market teams.
I'm glad the big markets, though. I'm glad both the Lakers and the Knicks didn't win it, though.
But I don't know why we say that, because Golden State, I mean, how big of a market is Oakland? I guess San Fran. But still, I didn't even know where they played until I was 15.
Golden State? Really?
I had no idea.
Golden State, well, 6 years ago, Golden State was irrelevant.
Right, and they got relevant by having good players.
Yeah, so, and now Golden State's got their own section in sporting goods stores.
Exact all over the country.
Yeah.
So now if you have a team with Zion and Anthony Davis, I mean, that makes your team relevant.
But I think Golden State's got some good ownership, too. New Orleans seems like it's a disaster. Just seems like it's a disaster. And they, if you have good ownership, okay.
Well, who owns them? Benson, the Saints guy?
They're changing GMs, and it's just...
They've got David Griffin now running the show.
Yeah.
They've got...
He was up for this job.
Who's their coach? Gentry?
Yeah, he's a good guy, but he's one of those guys who's bounced around a little bit. Good guy. He'll coach with three or four different teams before it's all done. But with New Orleans, now, having those two, you think, okay, if Anthony Davis stays in New Orleans, then he got something with those two guys. But I think, you know, the NBA did not want Williamson ending up in New Orleans. Like I always say, I think the NBA wants only a handful of teams that are good, and they want all their major markets good.
I mean, I think you would prefer to have your major markets good, but I don't know ultimately how much it matters. I mean, if the NBA wanted that, if they truly wanted that, they wouldn't have changed the odds for the draft lottery, because the top three teams, if you were bad, you had a really good shot at the first pick. They kind of squished it together. Mm-hmm. So New York, Cleveland, and Phoenix all had about a 14% chance to get the number one pick. The Bulls with 12, Atlanta with 10, and again, New Orleans just had a 6% chance at pick number one. And what happened is, I think they did this to, one, discourage tanking. But what this also does is it took a year in which it looked almost destined for Zion to come to New York.
Yeah.
It took that away from the New York Knicks.
Yeah, and New York, I know the guys out there and the guys who do what we do out in New York, they had been waiting for yesterday forever.
Right.
They couldn't wait for yesterday to happen. Because I think they all automatically thought their birthright was they were going to get the first pick, and they were going to get Zion. Well, they end up falling to number three, and they get one of his teammates. So, yeah, that's just – it didn't work out for New York, and that was kind of cool to see. You know, in New York, they're crying that, oh, you know, we haven't won a title in this town forever, man. We're going through a tough stretch here. New York has won their fair share of championships, so I'm not crying for them at all, and I'm glad that they didn't get Zion.
So Zion Williamson, who is going to go number one unless the team gets really stupid, but that's not going to happen. If you saw video of the Pelicans ticket office last night, where there's about 50 of them crowded around and they burst into flames, and if you saw the GM David Griffin, who was there last night, almost couldn't contain himself, they are taking Zion Williamson at number one. The interesting thing about the broadcast last night was Zion Williamson was there. Zion Williamson was there. Not only did they keep cutting to him, but Rachel Nichols and Woj were doing the television broadcast. It was piped in through the auditorium so that when they would talk about Zion, Zion could hear it. And then Zion did an interview after, and he said, I'm still nervous. And then you look at him and you think, wow, this guy's not that thrilled that he's going to New Orleans. It was just very weird that the guy who's going to be pick number one was there at the draft lottery. I thought that was astounding.
It sounds like they made the entire show, like Zion, and if everybody else was kind of irrelevant. It was Zion and then everybody else in the lottery. Like, if you didn't get Zion, it didn't really matter.
Like, Memphis will get Ja Morant, and so R.J. Barrett will go to the Knicks.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it was all about Zion.
Zion was
there. He's sitting front row.
Yeah. Looked nice in a suit.
It was
part of the pictures.
Just an amazing piece of broadcast and truly a made-for-TV event. So the Pelicans have number one. You know, you can say the NBA doesn't want it, but it certainly makes this offseason even more interesting with him and Anthony Davis and everything that surrounds that.
I did not want the Celtics, who had a slight chance with the Kings because they had the Kings, the pick there. I did not want the Celtics to get that overall. I was like, please, not the Celtics. I didn't want Zion going to the Celtics, and the Celtics fell, and they're going to be the 14th pick. But the Celtics had a crack at that.
So did Philly. They had that same pick.
Yes,
they had a crack.
Yes,
at.
Yes. Yes, they did. But I thought maybe the Celtics were going to somehow slide in there, but they didn't.
The Bucks will draft 30th, by the way, once they win the NBA Finals.
Yeah. They might as well draft off Cardinal Stritch's roster at that point.
It's Chuck and Winkler, served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. More on the Bucks' chances to get to the NBA Finals. They got to get to Toronto first. And the comments that Giannis said about the Raptors, how he accidentally shamed the Celtics. We'll have all that coming up for you here in just a little bit. Also, it's an Ask Chuck and Winkler Anything Wednesday, where you can ask us any question that you want. A lot of questions coming in already because there's a little bit of an incentive for you today. We'll take one question at random, and that person will win the Power Passes today. We've got Power Passes to Summerfest all week. We'll have them again tomorrow, and we'll have them again on Friday. The Power Passes get you entry into all 11 days, so you don't have to buy a ticket for general admission for any of the 11 days of Summerfest. We'll give you a pair of those Tweet us your question at 105.7FM. The Fan, use the hashtag AskCW. The most likely result for the Bucks and the Raptors in this series. Next, Chuck and Winkler on The Fan. All right, let's make them final. Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. I'm Bart Winkler. That's Chuck Freeman. We've got a Canadian news crew coming in here at 8 o'clock after everything bad we've said about Canada over the last couple of days. Alan Carter is the guy's name, 8 o'clock. We'll talk to Matt Velasquez at 9 today from the Journal Sentinel and Ryan Wohlstatt with the Toronto Sun. We'll talk to him at 9:30. I'm excited to talk to him because I want to know what's going on with Kyle Lowry, if he's as bad in the playoffs as it seems to me from afar he is. So we'll talk to the beat guys in the 9 o'clock hour. Let's make your final prediction. I think you're kind of between 5 and 6. I'm going to say I'm kind of between 4 and 5, to be honest with you. I could see them sweeping as easily as I can seeing them win maybe in 5. But I'm going to say I'm going to lock it in. Locked in. Bucks in 5. They win it at Fiserv.
Okay, I'm caught between 5 and 6. Angling more toward 5 these days. I'm going to stick with 6. I'll stick with 6. Just because I think Toronto will trip into a couple of wins. And maybe both, maybe two games at their place. But I think Milwaukee is going to win the series. But I think it may go 6. Bucks maybe get up 3-1 in the series. Golden State closes it. Or not Golden State. I'm looking ahead already. Toronto closes it within 3-2. And then, game 6 goes to Milwaukee maybe in Toronto there on Memorial Day weekend. But I think Milwaukee 5 or 6. I'll stick with 6.
I just, as we try to play it out, I'm having a hard time seeing the Bucks lose 2 in a row.
Mm-hmm.
And if they lose game 3, then I think that means they come back and win game 4. And then if they come back here for game 5, I don't think they're going to drop it at home. I expect them to win the first 2 games. I certainly expect them to win tonight with Toronto coming off of that elacious, if that's a word, that great victory the other night. Kind of like what we saw with Portland, where they were kind of still, coming down from that victory, and then they get bounced by Golden State last night. Competitive game, but just never truly close.
Last night?
Yeah.
I'd never expected Portland. I mean, those two.
No, but they cut it to within 6 a few times.
Yeah, their two stars, though, were terrible last night. I mean, McCollum and Lillard shoot like they did last night, they're not going to stay within single digits of those guys, Golden State. And Steph, that. More than anybody, because you're a Golden State fan, Steph gets on a roll. He's unstoppable. That was game, set, and match Golden State last night. Now, as for tonight's game, I mean, it's hard to predict each one of these games like early on, but I'm expecting the Bucks to win game 1, unlike the past series of Boston.
Do you think it will be similar where the Bucks and the Raptors sort of have a back and forth first half, and then the Bucks pull away late? Or
yeah,
could this be a game that the Bucks take control of early?
Well, those Boston games, I kept thinking, okay, this one's going to be close. This one's going to be close. And the Bucks ended up blowing out Boston in all 4 of those games, basically. I mean, one of those games was a single digit, but that was basically
a double
digit.
But they were always close at half, or the Celtics had that lead at
third
half.
Third quarter, the Bucks pulled away. I think the Bucks, what's the spread, about 7.5, 8 or so tonight?
The last time I saw it was 7.5.
How about that?
So you have to look that back up.
How about a year ago, if I would have told you the Bucks are going to be playing the Eastern Conference Finals in game 1, they'll be 7.5, 8-point favorites against Toronto in game 1 at home. Oh, yeah, I think the Bucks will win this one right around the number. I think 7, 8, 9 points. One of those games, too, I think they'll feel each other in the first half, and then the Bucks end up pulling away.
We've got odds on the most likely scenario for the series that we'll have for you coming up. And not only will Shaq be broadcasting at the TNT booth in front of Fiserv Forum tonight, but you could party with him at the Liquid Lounge later.
Yeah, Shaq's having his private parties, right?
Yeah, we'll talk about that coming up as well. Plus, Giannis, in trying to praise the Raptors, completely buried the Celtics. We'll hear from the Greek Freak. We'll do that all next. And from you, 799-1250, your thoughts on how game 1 will play out, your thoughts on how this series will play out. It's Chuck and Winkler, served up by Perkins, here on The Fan.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.